take my mind now and think through me. Take my heart and love through me. That we may glorify you in our lives for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Well, as you'll see from Pew News, the theme for today's service is the reward of service. That little word service can mean all kinds of things, different things. Talk about domestic service, military service, a train or bus service, or servicing your car. And you can go on. Now, people who perform a service are technically servants. Hence, in the civil service, you have civil servants. They're paid for their service, and in that sense, they are rewarded. But of course, there's a service for which they and we are not paid. And you and I are involved in it right now. And it's worship. We've come together to thank and to praise God, to hear God's word, to pray for the world, to seek forgiveness, and to give ourselves anew to serving God. And we call this a service of worship. We're not paid for doing it because we have a duty to worship God. And that's actually important. It's an important duty because we're actually duty-bound every Sunday for as long as we're physically able, and not only when it's convenient, to gather for worship and to encourage one another. Now, I personally believe that in that sense, there's a difference between performing a service and performing a duty. If you see a blind person waiting to cross the road, waiting for someone to lead them across the road, or you see someone, an elderly person, say, fall down in the street, we have a Christian duty to go to their assistance and to help. Now, I believe that our attitude should not be looking for reward. Our attitude should be, as Jesus says in Luke 17, we are unworthy servants. We've only done our duty. And it would certainly be wrong, wouldn't it, to assist only because we expected reward. So let's look at service that God does reward. Let's look at the first verse of our second reading just now. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Now, Jesus had been instructing his disciples prior to sending them out to preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. And Jesus finished this instruction on an encouraging note, and that's verse 40. Now, people in the villages to whom Jesus sent his disciples would have had a clear choice, either to receive them and to welcome them, or reject them and their message. Now, that little word receive, used 8 times in these 3 verses, means to welcome, to listen to accept and believe the disciples' message. So if people received the disciples, they also received Jesus Christ. And also, the one who sent him, that was their reward. But of course, if they rejected the disciples and their message, they would receive absolutely nothing. Now, in verse 41, Jesus continued, anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Let's agree between us that a prophet is someone to whom God has given a message to deliver to whomever it may concern, be it an individual or a nation. And in short, that prophet is God's mouthpiece, and he or she represents God. So if a prophet had come into your village in those days, you would welcome, and you welcomed him or her, you gave him food, drink, and accommodation, and accepted and believed that they were speaking on behalf of God, you would receive a prophet's reward. Jesus says so. But it raises a question. What exactly is a prophet's reward? If it's the same reward, is it the same reward as the prophet himself would receive? Or is it a reward worthy of that prophet? I think probably the latter. And since Jesus lived under the old covenant, his blood on the cross brought in the new covenant, since he lived under the old covenant, let's look at the Old Testament prophets. Now, almost all the prophets whose are known for what they said, as recorded in the Bible. So we have Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, and so on and so on. But there are two about whose lives we know just a little, Elijah and Elisha. In 1 Kings 17, we learn about Elijah. It was a time of famine. God had sent Elijah to a widow in Zarephath of Sidon. He asked her for a drink of water, and as she was going to get that drink, he asked her also for a piece of bread, a cake of bread. And she explained she had a mere handful of flour, a tiny drop of oil. She was about to make a final meal for her son and herself before they died. "Don't be afraid," said Elijah. "Do that, but first make me a cake of bread." This is what the Lord says: "The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry, until the day the Lord gives rain on the land." So the prophet's reward, the reward for Elijah and for the widow who received him, of course, who received and believed and obeyed him, was a daily meal throughout the famine. Then we come to a righteous man's reward. And verse 41 continues. "Anyone who receives a righteous man, because he is a righteous man, receives a righteous man's reward." Well, Abraham was a righteous man, very much so, called by God to leave his father's house and to go to a land which God would show him. And if he did that, God had promised to make him into a great nation and to be a blessing to the world. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So we know he is a righteous man. And God kept his promise. So Abraham's reward as a righteous man was descendants, as many as the grains of sand on the seashore, as many as the stars in the night sky, and a land for them to live in forever. But, and it's a big but with a capital B, it's not always such good news. Now think, what do Abraham, the Old Testament prophets, Jesus' disciples, and you and I all have in common? I can tell you, it's faith. Faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ. But the fate of people with faith in God and in Jesus Christ is not always happy. Hebrews chapter 11 describes the fate of many who had served and welcomed those who had served God in Israel. It says this: "They were tortured and refused to be released so that they may gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers, flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins, goatskins, destitute, ill-treated, persecuted. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in caves and holes in the ground." I might add to that that humanity has not changed a bit. Look at the atrocities performed by Hamas when they invaded southern Israel on the 7th of October 2023. Now, both Mike Bennett and Mandy Hill tell us from time to time of the dreadful situation in Democratic Republic of Congo, of the hundreds, even thousands of people killed in Nigeria, and how those killed in Nigeria are, there are more killed in Nigeria than in the rest of the world put together. And it's simply because they faithfully serve Jesus Christ. So what of Jesus' promise then of a prophet's or righteous man's reward? Well, the Bible sets out two facts that we should remember. We really should remember. First, God has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And Jesus followed this up. Surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. So whatever we're going through, if it's not good, even if it's very, very bad, we have the Lord. Basically, he's our reward. Jesus is beside you. He's standing there beside you. He shares your suffering. He strengthens you. He encourages you. He helps you to endure. He gives you his peace. And you might even detect deep down inside a joy in his presence. Secondly, God keeps every promise he makes. God keeps every promise. So when we serve, and when we welcome others who faithfully serve, and all we receive is persecution rather than God's promise of a reward, we must remember, again remember, that God is never foiled. He will keep his promise, but in eternity, instead of in this life, which is but this life is just but a fleeting breath compared with eternity. So look at Jesus' promise in the final verse of our second reading this morning. If anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. Now, whether a little one is a child or whether it's the humblest, newest disciple, you are assured of your reward. You certainly will not lose it. Amen.
Would you please stand as we sing together our next hymn, which is number 181 in Mission Praise, It's God Forgave My Sin in Jesus' Name, number 181.